we get this thing turned on. Because I might walk around a little bit. Matthew chapter 11. And they'll get the sound right and they'll make all that work. But I want to just share with you a thought that I had. And this is the thought. Go tell John. And we'll bring that back around because I believe God gives us the word. It's historical. It happened. It's doctrinal. It teaches us something. But it's practical in that it does apply to my life and your life. Even though the scripture that I'm about to read to you was written approximately A.D. 28. That's Adon Domini. That's the year of our Lord. But I want to read just six verses in Matthew chapter number 11 and try to share with you my thoughts and my heart this morning that God's laid on my heart. It says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John, or go and tell John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, amen. The lame walk, yes. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now I want us to look at this, and I want you to see the scene for just a minute. I want us to go back and look at historically what was happening. John the Baptist was in prison for preaching the Word of God. He was in prison for preaching the truth, for basically telling it straight, and for preaching against sin, specifically in the life of Herod. My wife showed me something this week where a pastor of a major church, 7,500 members, said that he would not stand and proclaim that abortion was sin or wrong. He said, "It's not up to me to say that." And he went on to talk about some other things. And he said, "My job is to just get to know people." Now, this is someone, if I call their name, you'll know exactly who they are. Very, very large church. But I want to tell you, it's getting to be more and more common. They're seeker friendly and they're looking to bring people in. But if someone else applied, you know, they've got this thing on Facebook, you know, the dings, y'all that do the dings and the hearts and all that good stuff. Somebody apply and say, "This is another ear tickler." Here's what I want you to understand. John the Baptist was not an ear tickler. He came out of the wilderness eating locust and wild honey, and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When he was there by the river and he was baptizing, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees came walking up, he looked at them and he said, "You generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" This was God's man. And the scripture speaks of John in this manner. And this is what Jesus said. And I'm not going to be able to read it all, or we'd be here for an hour. I want to give you what's in my heart. I want to get to that point. But Jesus said of John the Baptist, he said, "Of those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." Now remember, that's those born of women. This man was in prison. And he had heard the words. But he had a question. John the Baptist looked at his disciples. He had those that followed him. And he told them to go and look at this Christ and ask, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" You see, John was the forerunner, the scripture says, the forerunner of Christ. He was to come and preach before Christ, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, when we look at this scripture, here's sometimes what we look back on. You think, how in the world can John ask that question. Don't you remember that John was there? If you go back and look at Matthew chapter number 3, when John was baptizing and Jesus came walking up and he had just spoken to the Pharisees and he was baptizing people, and he sees Jesus and Jesus speaks to John and says, "You baptize me." And John the Baptist said, "I'm not worthy, Lord. I need to be baptized of you." And of course, Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And John baptized Jesus, and the scripture says that the Spirit of God came from heaven and descended upon him like a dove. This was the same John the Baptist. So when we look at him, you say, how can this man that stood in the presence of Jesus, that saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, that heard a voice from heaven speak, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," how could he ask such a thing? But let's look at John. John the Baptist was preaching the uncompromised Word of God. People didn't come by and pat him on the back and say, "Good job, Brother John. Appreciate you preaching the Word today. We thank you for standing for the truth." But what they did to him is they took him and they cast him into a dungeon. And being in a dungeon, it was dark and it was cold. And when he was in that cell, here's the same questions that you and I come up with sometimes in our life. We ask the question, was it in vain what I did? If I was doing what God wanted me to do, why am I finding myself now in this cell? But let's remember what he said. Are you the one that should come? Or do we look for another? You see, the truth is, although the scripture says that of those born of women, there was none greater than John, here's what I want you to understand. John was just a man. He's just like you, he's just like me, and he had flesh, and he had blood, and he had feelings, and I'm sure there were times in his life overwhelmed with doubt, with confusion, with pain, with hunger, with rejection, with the fact that it seemed like nobody except just a few disciples even knew that maybe he was in the world. Just a man. Lived his life fulfilling the divine calling of God. But here's what I want you to understand. He was the forerunner. He was not Jesus. And neither are you. You know, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I put so much pressure on myself, I can't even fulfill it. I got a sign on my computer at work that I put up there that says, "Be perfect." You ever feel that pressure? After all, I'm a dad, right? I'm supposed to be an example to my sons, and I'm supposed to be such an example that I don't ever make any mistakes in front of them, because what I do, they're going to do, and what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. So I feel that pressure. I'm a husband. I have a good wife that loves me more than I deserve. And sometimes I realize in my busy schedule and all the things that I have to do, I come up short. Maybe I hadn't told her how much I appreciate her. Maybe I hadn't shown her. And I don't know about some of you, but we all have a love language. I'll tell you what my wife's love language is. It's time. Just spend time with me. She wanted to spend so much time with me yesterday, she said, "Whatever you want to do, I'm going with you." Amen. That's not the norm. But I struggle. I go to work and I have these responsibilities and people that depend on me, and I make decisions one right after the another, and I get so many emails sometimes that when I look at them, I just want to file email bankruptcy and hit delete. I don't always get it right. And I come in here and I look around, and I'll tell you what I'd love to have, but it can't be this way. I'd love to come in here, Brother Billy, and everybody be in perfect harmony. Oh, Everything be exactly what God wants it to be. Everybody's serving the Lord. Everybody's doing their part. Nobody called in that was supposed to work in children's church or the nursery today. And everybody can fill their roles. And there was enough sausage biscuits and donuts and none of the kids got into a fight. Amen. Nobody fell on the playground and got hurt. Amen. And here's another one. The temperature is perfect. Now, in order for that to happen, we'd have to have beams coming down on people's head. But you know, sometimes, let's just be honest. Sometimes we love God, we serve God, but the pressures of life are so heavy upon us that if we try to be able to contain it, to keep it all in a proper place, sometimes it's overwhelming. And you look at John and say, well, he baptized Jesus. What is he saying? I tell you what he's saying. He's saying, I need to hear it again. Here's the answer. And this is what I want you to understand about Jesus Christ. When they came and spoke to Jesus, Jesus knew who John the Baptist was. He did not say, you go back and tell him he should know who I am. He didn't say, you tell him that he's going to be held accountable for even asking that question. But the answer that he spoke when he spoke to those disciples was with humility and love. Now, I want to tell you, God loves you. And he cares for you. And he knew that John wasn't a viper like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that are out there doing their own thing. You know what he knew about him? He was just a man. And being just a man in a prison and in a dungeon and dealing with the stress and the pain and the hurt, he needed some encouragement that would help him be strong again. And here's what he said. He said, go tell John. Go tell John. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And sometimes what we need to hear is we need to hear it again. You see, the prophecies had been fulfilled, and in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 5 through number 7, it says this, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens, and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people unto it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You see, this was Jesus. Scripture was fulfilled. So he presented the answer in humility and love. And then if you look at the 7th through the 11th verse, listen to what Jesus said about John. It says, and they departed, and Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. He said, what ye went out into the wilderness to see, a reed shaken with the wind? But when you went ye out for to see a man clothed in soft raiment, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet. And yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And that's referenced in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, prophetically, that John the Baptist would come. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see, John was commended by Jesus Christ. He spoke these words in love to tell him, yes, the scripture's fulfilled. Yes, Messiah has come. And yes, I am him. But what about us? Sometimes we need to be reminded too that it matters. That there is strength in the Lord. You know, as I begin to think about the prophecies There are 37 prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the New Testament, and I'm just going to give you a few. We know that Jesus is the way, but folks, sometimes we need to have these, and if you want a copy of what I'm looking at here, I'll be glad to share it with you. But it's in this right here. Listen to this. Born in Bethlehem, prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Fulfilled in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 4. Born of a virgin, prophesied in Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse 14. You find that in Luke 1, 26, the 27th, the 30th, and the 31st verse. Preceded by a forerunner, which is John the Baptist, we mentioned Malachi 3, 1. Sold for 30 pieces of silver. We find that in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 12, fulfilled in Matthew 26, 15. We find that his side was pierced, prophesied in Zechariah 12, 10. We find this written in John 19, 34. To be resurrected, we find it in Psalm 16, 10 and Psalms 49, 15. We find it fulfilled in Mark 16, 6 and 7. His ascension to the right hand of God. We find it in Psalm 68, 18, fulfilled in Mark 16, 19, 1 Corinthians 15, 4, Ephesians 4, 8. We look at the Word of God. The Word of God supports the Word of God, and it gives us assurance and truth that yes, even in the midst of our trouble and pain, God is still God, and God is still on the throne, and God has not changed. When we look at the Word of God, and we look at what Jesus has done for us, very important for us to understand as we look at God's answer. He has love and He has mercy for every person that comes to Him. The problem today in the world that we're living in is we're living in a situation. It's not that there's not enough love, there's not enough mercy, there's not enough goodness to go around, but we're living in a time to when people won't come to Him. They won't cry to Him. They won't bow to Him, and they won't surrender to Him, and they won't allow Jesus to be Lord of their life. That was not John's issue. You see, John was sometimes just kind of like you and I. You ever felt like you were in a dungeon? You ever felt like that it was just dark where you were at? Have you ever had a situation that you come to church on Sunday morning and there was so much trouble or pain in your life that you really didn't want to share exactly where you were at because you didn't want your pain to possibly hinder somebody else? I know a lady, she's a pastor's wife, and she lost her daughter when her daughter was 22 years old to cancer. And during those times, this lady had been working for God, serving God her whole life. She led her husband, who was a pastor, to the Lord. Worked in Bible school, Sunday school teacher, and I can remember growing up with her daughter. She was my age. We used to run around together and do things together. 22 years old, she got cancer. During the time that they diagnosed her with cancer, she was pregnant with twin boys. And because she was pregnant with those twin boys, she said, "You're not doing anything to touch me. It's going to harm these boys." Amen. And she went on and she had those two boys, and they're fine young men today. But you know what happened to her? The treatments didn't come in time. The help didn't come in time. You know, and it was a joy for her to be able to look at those children. But I want to tell you something. She didn't get to live the life that you and I live. And I'll tell you, mama that loved God and served God, you know what happened to her? She was just like John when he was over there in that prison for preaching the Word of God. She had to learn again the renewed grace of God to help her. Amen. And I can remember talking to her. And she told me, she said, "You know, there was a time in my life that I was so low and so hurt that I didn't even want people to know how I was hurting." Have you ever felt like that you're supposed to be strong? That you're supposed to have it all together? And if you tell somebody exactly what's going on in your life, that you're afraid that your weakness will actually hurt them? What about John? What about John being in the prison and these disciples? He tells them to go see if he's the one. I can almost imagine them doing a double take and looking back at him and say, "John, you know he's the one. But if we're honest, sometimes we need to hear what John heard from Jesus. He said, you go tell John. You tell him that the blind receive their sight. You tell him that the lame walk. You tell him that the deaf hear. You tell him that the gospel is preached unto the poor. And you tell him, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Now, if we look at the proclamation and understand, Jesus knew that John would not be the only one with doubts. If you look at the sixth verse that we read in Matthew chapter 11, he says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. See, John had doubts and he had fears. What about the questioning? God, where are you? In the book of Job, when Job was going through all of his turmoil, and it's in the 23rd chapter of Job, Job said this. In the second verse, he said, even today is my complaint bitter and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Have you ever just been reaching out to God and you think, I wish I could just get right in front of the Lord right now? Have you ever wanted to do this? Job said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Have you ever said, God, why is it this way? Why did that happen that way? Why are we going through this? Why is my family experiencing this? Why, Lord, when we've lived our whole life, have we come to this point and now I see this kind of trouble with my family, with my parents, with my children? Job said, I'd like to get right in front of God and present my argument. Listen to what Job said. He said, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. And then he says, will he plead against me with his great power? How did Jesus respond to John? He didn't come with a stick and say, John, you know better than that. But he sent him encouragement. Listen to what Job said. Would he plead against me with his great power? He said, no, but he would put strength in me. That's what God does. Now, I don't know about you, but there's times that I just get alone and I say, God, here's where I'm at. I'm just like John when he was in that dungeon. I'm feeling the pain, I'm feeling the pressure, I'm feeling the trouble. And you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for God to reach out with those loving arms of mercy and wrap them around me. Amen. And pull me close to him and strengthen me and comfort me, because he is my heavenly Father. He is my help. He's the only one that I go to and turn to when I'm in trouble. And I need him. And I know that he gave sight to the blind. And folks, we've seen God answer prayer. And we've seen God move. And I want you to understand something. We're living in times, I believe, that are getting close for Jesus to come. And the church is going to have to be strong and stand in the midst of trouble. Why? Because we are the salt and light in a dark world. And we have an enemy that is against us, that wants to stop us. And if he cannot come through one door, remember what I said, be perfect. You can't. Can't be perfect as a dad. Can't be perfect as a husband. Can't be perfect at work. And you can't be perfect at church. You know what you got to do? You got to love. You got to forgive. And you got to keep on going and not let the enemy stop you. Because of the difficulties that we face in life. See, many today, they're offended. And they're asking still the question, is he the one? See, a lot of people are offended by hypocrisy. Offended by the trials of life, difficulty, burdens, heartaches, and pains. Some are offended by the allures of the world. Brother Allen shared with me that they had some skits during D-Now. I tell you, brother, those sounded very interesting. And the gist of the skit, the best I could understand, was what the devil tries to get you to trade your peace with God, your relationship with God, and your service to God. Now, I was talking to my wife, and I'm going to be done in just a minute, and I know this is a little bit different this morning, but this is what's on my heart.
Yeah.
Come on, I was talking to my wife, and we were talking about how the world is today and how difficult it is to get people to be really serious now, serious about serving God. And I want you to understand something. The devil has a rocking chair. And if he can get you to rock in it, he'll rock you asleep. He doesn't care if you come to church as long as there's no preaching with power. He doesn't care if you come and it's a social event, but when you come and you get serious about serving God and allowing God to work in your life, he don't like it.
Amen.
You know why? Says it in the gospel, because he knows that he has but a short time. He knows where he's going. And he wants to take away the light that the people of God are shining for Jesus. All these challenges come against us. Challenges come against John. And Jesus said, go tell John. Go tell John. There's no need to look for another. And as I thought about that, here's what I felt like God wanted me to do this morning. Go tell his people. God said, go tell my people that there's no need to look for another, because I'm the one.
Yes.
Jesus is the one. He is the way, he is the truth and the life. And the scripture teaches plainly that no man cometh unto the Father except by him. When it's difficult, he's still the one. If we're in the dungeon, he's still the one. When the doctor's report is not what you want to hear, he's still the one. When your heart breaks, he's still the one. Remember where he told his disciples a hard saying, and some of them went away, and he looked at them and he said, will you also go away? And they said this to him. They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else is there for us to go? Just Jesus. Jesus. Now, I've shared with you what God has laid on my heart. Jesus said, go tell John. But I want to tell you, folks, he's the one. There's no need to look for another. Would you please rise to your feet as we play a song? I know we've already had some movement in the altar.